Hey everybody, it's your girl Nikki Washington. You are tuned in to Let Me Find Out, a witty take on life and culture. Do not adjust your speaker. I really do sound this raspy. I have been going on all cylinders, working, doing marketplace ministry, passion projects when I can, and it's just been a lot going on. So your girl's a little tired, but you know what? We're going to press through. We're going to give you quality that you can use. So if this is your first time listening to the pod, first of all, welcome to the podcast. So glad you could join us. Feel free to hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit that share button. I always say, let me know that it's real. If we go together, I need to see some evidence. Go ahead and hit that button. And if you are not new, thank you for being my ride or die, ride or live, as I like to say, day one, 8 seasons in. I cannot believe there were 8 seasons in. I'm so excited. So thank you for rocking with your girl. You didn't have to do it, but huh, you did. And as always, if you're not connected with me on social media, let's do that, shall we? You can do that by going to any social media platform, Nick, N-I-K-K, last name Washington, at wherever you're logged on. I'm most likely there. If it's not Nick Washington, then it is Nick Wash. And I think on Facebook it's Nikki Washington, but I barely ever use those pages. So enter at your own risk. Nevertheless, so glad that y'all could join me. I'm doing a bite-sized nugget episode this week, and then we're going to roll back into, I want to say interviews, but we'll see what the flow looks like. You know, if you've been listening for any amount of seasons, y'all know I'm a list girl. I'm a system girl. I'm a process girl. But I also am an artist. And because I'm an artist, I like to, you know, be free in my flow. And also, I'm a woman of God. And because I'm a woman of God, I like to be led. So all those things combined, we give order, we give structure, we give room for the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. And also, we make sure that we honor everything that we said we're going to do. So yeah. That's it. That's all. So I'm going to hit you with this quick bite-sized nugget episode and then be out your way. So I want to talk about what it really means to put you first. And I don't mean, let me give a disclaimer for all my theologians. I don't mean put you first from the perspective of being a lover of self. You know, the Bible talks about in the last days, men would be lovers of themselves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about from a healthy, holistic place of really caring for the vessel that God has given you while we are here. And so I'm not speaking from a place of always having it together. I'm speaking from a place that I recently arrived to. I would say maybe, I don't know. I know it had to be in the last year, y'all, where I literally, let's just give a little background on me. I am a people person. I love people. I am a loyal friend. I am a rider. Like, you need me to pick you up at 3 o'clock in the morning because, you know, you got a flat. I got you. You need me to help ride out. No questions asked. I got you. For the most part, unless it's illegal or unless it's unethical, I am going to ride for my friends. And even if you're in the wrong and it's illegal or unethical, I'm going to tell you about yourself because that's what real friends do. You hold each other accountable, and I'd want somebody to do that for me. All that to say, I'm really loyal to my heart. I love people and I love hard. With that being said, I had to learn, y'all, over time, and it took me a while to learn it, but I had to come to the place where I realized that my boundaries and my margins were a form of self-care for myself. And I had to learn how to let my love and let who I am and the essence of all that I am flow in the direction of my assignment, of my core covenant friendships, family, loved ones, relationships, whatever the thing is. And so it really was a game changer for my life. It helped me to not be drained. It helped me not to overextend myself. It helped me to properly give right perspective. It helped me to see clearly the people that were around me. Because if you're a giver, I'm sure this is no new song to you. You know that a lot of times you'll find yourself surrounded by people who will take but won't give in the same measure that they take. And so you have to learn how to create boundaries so that you don't become angry, that you don't become frustrated, that you don't become bitter, and that you don't dispense your love in an improper way. There's a right way to do everything. As Reverend Keith Sweat said, there's a right and a wrong way to love somebody. Hello, somebody. Okay, all kidding aside, I want to hit these 3 points, and then again, I will be out your way. I know this is a very preached thing to say, but hey, I'm me, right? So I want to talk about 3 things that I think are necessary in order for you to properly care for yourself. Knowing that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, I think it's so important to really care for yourselves. And I have arrived at this place where I just really have been more intentional than usual, but make sure I guard my heart, protect my energy, protect my space, care for myself physically and spiritually, and also create healthy boundaries. So I just want to talk about it, share with you what I've learned along the way, what I feel the Lord has led me into. If it helps, feel free to apply it. If it doesn't, feel free to fly. As always, please consult your physicians and your mental health professionals with all this information I'm giving you. Although I am licensed and degreed, I am not your mental health professional, and I'm not speaking from a place of professionalism. I'm speaking from a place of experience. I want to give that disclaimer. There we go. So, all right, enough with the disclaimers, enough with housekeeping. Let's get into it. Number one, self-development. Again, we're talking about three things that I believe have been instrumental in really learning to take care of myself and put me first in a healthy way. So number one, self-development. Whether it is a skill, whether it is a passion project, whether it is learning to break habits that are not productive or conducive for who you want to be, I think it's very important to lean into self-development. And what I have learned is, I'll never forget, and I think I'm gonna mention this before, but I remember I was in a therapy session with my therapist at the time, and we were talking about what I was there for. And it was one of the initial sessions, and I gave the rundown of what I wanted to work on while I was in therapy. And maybe like the third session in, I remember she said to me, "You don't really need my help." And I was like, "What? Wait, what?" And so what she was really saying was, you have the ability to self-actualize, meaning you see your faults very well. You just need someone to hold you accountable so that you can process through them. And it was at that moment I realized, for me, I am not the person that is going to just work on self-development on my own. I know my limits. I know my capacity. So I've hit a ceiling where I know I have to reach outside of myself to help cultivate certain skills and passion projects. So what does that look like for me? I'm glad you asked. It might look like, if I know that I have been successful in the space of writing, let's say, but I know I want to take my writing to a next level, I might enlist a class. I might enlist a mentor. I might study some literature that will inspire me, something along those lines, because I want to develop the skill of being a more sharp and more professional and proficient writer in that way. It might mean I want to learn a skill as it relates to marketplace ministry, or as it relates to my career trajectory. And so I want to be better in my career space. Let's say, I don't know, maybe I want to learn how to use a software in a different way. And I think it might be better in my office setting. So I would take the time outside of work to go and learn a marketable skill so that I can be a benefit to my team. And so for you who work in the marketplace, that might be something you might be interested in doing, because it makes your life easier with your skill set on your job. And I also believe that when you learn lifelong, I don't know the data, I didn't look it up, but I know when you learn lifelong, it really does help your brain capacity, helps your mental sharpness. So I think it's important. So yeah, that's what I mean when I say self-developing skills. It might be for those who are married, maybe you want to be more nurturing and loving to your husbands. I have thought about, I'm not married, of course, but I have thought about wanting to take like massage therapy classes, or I'm a good cook, I've been told. That's my little shameless plug, but I want to become a better cook. So I've actually thought about taking cooking classes that take me outside of my comfort zone, so that I'm not just making my, you know, my specialties of like some Mexican food or American food or soul food or, you know, whatever my specialties are, but that I take myself out of my comfort zone and learn how to make like Cantonese food, or learn how to make Indian food or stuff like that. So that's something I think has to do with developing skill that's not just for me, but it helps me because it helps me become better for my future. So I think that can be a part of self-development too. So all that to say, whatever self-development looks like for you and whatever your goals are, I think self-care and putting your goals first really is a form of loving people well, because when you show up for you better, you show up for other people better. So self-development, I think, is one. Number two, self-care. So we talked about self-development, now self-care. And I know self-care is a hot button word in 20 and 24, the year of our Lord and Savior. Everybody thinks self-care is spa days and pedicures and manicures and hair appointments, and please don't get it twisted. I do all of those things. I get pedicures routinely because we can't be out here looking crazy. I get my hair done looking routine. Like, I take care of my physical self. But I've also come to realize self-care also means wellness. I make sure I schedule all my health appointments, and I make sure I'm not perfect. And God is gracious to me, be clear. But when it comes to my health and when it comes to working out, I work out currently 5 to 6 days a week. I was doing 2-a-days at the time because I have aggressive goals, and I want to make sure that I am taking care of my body to the best of my ability, because I haven't always been good to my body, especially working on the road. So that's something that's a priority for me and a form of self-care. So whatever self-care looks like for you, maybe it's not fitness. Maybe you take care of how you eat and how you live in that respect. Maybe it is just taking time as if you're a mom. I know a lot of my friends who are moms have a hard time finding time for themselves, just chilling. Some of my single male fathers who are single dads have said the same thing. If they're the primary caregiver, sometimes they find it hard to find space to really just have alone time. So maybe it's learning to get up a little earlier to carve out 15 minutes of self-care to give yourself just some quiet time. Maybe it's going for a walk and having someone babysit your kids, you know, whatever it looks like for you. I think self-care is anything that makes you feel better about yourself and is in line with what God says you are supposed to be. And so I said that because you can want to do a form of self-care and it's really not self-care. It's harming your temple. So whatever is in line with honoring your temple and it makes you feel better, I say do that thing. Last but certainly not least, isn't this a cute little short list? Y'all thought I was going to give you 7 bullet points today. Not today. So again, just for the number 2, again, we talked about self-development. That's a skill or a passion project or anything of the kind. And then we talked about self-care and we just talked about what that is. And then last but certainly not least, boundaries and margins. Listen, I remember I worked for an organization. It was a nonprofit organization and they recommended a book called Margin. Our margin or margins, I can't remember which one it was, but it literally was about healthy boundaries and what it looked like, particularly for those of us who serve in ministry and particularly for those of us who have servants' hearts. Now, again, if you know me, you know I am just naturally a servant. I'm naturally the person that's going to say, let me help. But I have, girl, listen, if y'all could see me in 2024, it's a whole different ballgame. I am still my helpful self. She's in there. But I have learned to put boundaries and margins around my helpfulness and to not give my helpfulness without merit or without people asking for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, in order to be helpful, you have to actually ask for your help. How about that? I was trying to figure out a good way to say it. You have to be asked for your help. And don't get me wrong, there are some instances where people ain't got to ask for help. You just jump in and you help and you do and you stack hands and get it done, right? But there are some things that people want to figure out on their own. They want to learn on their own, or they just don't need our help. So I've had to learn how to police myself and create a boundary about myself about how I give of my helpfulness. And the last thing I want to do is give all of my helpfulness and all of this goodness, hello, to situations and circumstances that I'm not supposed to give it to. So I put boundaries around my helpfulness. I put boundaries around my time. I put boundaries around what I allow myself to ingest, what I allow myself to hear, because I want to make sure that I'm, again, honoring my temple as best as I can, not perfect, but striving. And then also I want to make sure that I am keeping in what needs to be kept in and keeping out what needs to be kept out, and that I'm releasing what God wants me to do at the appropriate time. I look at it like this, y'all. Again, especially for those men and women listening who are givers and who are servants, we have so much love to give and so much helpfulness to give and so much acumen and so much intellect and all these things we have to give. And the last thing you want to find is that you've poured out and poured out and poured out and it wasn't even your assignment and it was helpful and people will take and take and take. And then there will be no kind of like, thank you, I appreciate it. Like you will be surprised how many people will let you continue to take and or pour and pour and pour and just take and take and take and give nothing in return. I said this the other day. We don't give to get. Let me be clear. It is never about a give to get. If you know me in real life, you know I'm not that girl. But I will say this. I believe non-reciprocal relationships are not God's design for the human heart. I'm going to say that again. I believe non-reciprocal relationships are not God's design for the human heart. And unless you are in a situation where it's benevolence, meaning God has told you to pour into someone, maybe you're giving to the homeless, maybe you're mentoring someone, maybe you're being mentored by someone. Those are not even exchanges. So I'm not talking about that. So we're not going to split hairs over, you know, whittling down to the, you know, nitpicking, right? I'm talking about if you are in a situation where you have a peer could be a friend, a peer could be your spouse, a peer could be your brothers or sisters, your relationship with your families. If you're in a eye-to-eye relationship with someone and you find that you're always giving and always pouring and always the one extending yourself and you are never being extended to, I would highly encourage you to consider creating boundaries and margins around how you give. It's not that you can't give. Again, if you feel like God has led you to, and this is a season where you pour, because I do believe that's a thing too. I've had seasons in my life where I knew I was just called to pour into someone, and I knew they just didn't have it because of where they were in life and what they were going through, and I had total peace about it. But y'all know the difference between pouring and having peace about it, because you know it's a God-ordained pour, and you are literally just going to be the strong friend that season, versus that is not the case, and the person is just taking advantage of you. And so I would encourage you, God requires us to be servants, to be givers, but God never requires you to be a doormat. It is up to you to create healthy boundaries, because that's a form of self-care, which is a form of putting you first. Again, not putting you first from a selfish standpoint, but putting you first, because when you put you first, the better you are to yourself, the better you are, the better you can be to someone else. You have to be able to love you in order to love other people well. So I just want to encourage you to, again, whatever that looks like, I'm going to give a loose framework, because you know what boundaries look like for you. You know what healthy margins look like for you. You know what it looks like to have a co-laboring equal relationship when it comes to your friendships, when it comes to your relationships, when it comes to your loved ones, your families, all of the things. It's important. I cannot overstress that. Out of everything I said on the list, I feel like number three is one of the most important. And let me also give this caveat, and this is just my philosophy on it. Please feel free to do with it what you want. If it doesn't apply, like I always say, what? Let it fly. But this is what I think when it comes to reciprocity. I believe reciprocal does not always mean equal. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Reciprocal does not always mean equal. All it means is, out of the abundance of how you give freely. Out of the abundance of where I give freely. So as I've said before, some people have a lot of time, but don't have a lot of resources. Some people have a lot of resources, but don't have a lot of time. All it means is, out of the abundance of what I have to give, I give freely. And out of the abundance of what you have to give, you give freely. It doesn't mean we give the same thing at all times. It just means we give of ourselves as we are able to give of ourselves. Again, reciprocal. It doesn't mean equal, but it does mean sacrificial. So I hope that you are encouraged with just this information, and that you are inspired to go on your own and go, you know what? Let me find out what Nikki talk about. Let me find out about putting me first and not in a selfish way. Let me find out what it means to really just honor my temple and love myself and then love other people and love other people as myself. Come on, church. You see how I tied out all together? Anyway, I hope this helped. If it did, please feel free to let me know. If it didn't, please feel free to keep it to yourself. No, I'm kidding. Feel free to let me know. I just, my heart's desire, as this is a faith-based podcast, is truly just to help people. And so my prayer is that it helps you. And I think it's our responsibility to take care of ourselves. And then I'll leave you with Proverbs, I believe it's 4:23. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. And that's the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Again, the springs of life. So all that to say, if it is our responsibilities to watch over our hearts, right? I think it's also our responsibilities to watch over everything that's in our hearts and everything that's connected and all those issues therein. And I believe self-care is an issue of the heart. So I hope that you take care of yourself. We love you. We want you to be around for a long time and help build the kingdom, because that's what it's about. That's what this podcast is about, y'all. That's what literally everything I do, even if it's marketplace ministry, which, you know, corporate ministry, I go into every space thinking, how can I make this space better? And let my light shine that people might see me and glorify my Father. So I hope that you're blessed by this episode. Love y'all to life. And as always, we'll see you next time on Let Me Find Out.